Jesus said, suffer the little children to come. But apparently they're not supposed to run. So, amen. For such as these, the kingdom of heaven. So may we all come with the faith and the heart of a little child. It's precious and so very sweet. Well, if you have your Bible this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And we have been thinking together about financial matters, because that is a huge part of learning to follow the Lord, is learning to manage the stuff He gives us. And so that's our starting point, is that we're God's managers. He owns everything. He owns it all. And you thought the bank owned it, but no, the Lord owns it. And so that's the starting point for us. But now He's given some of His stuff to us, and we're called to take care of it, to manage it, to use it. He's given it for our good. He's given it for our enjoyment. It's a blessing from God. And stuff is not wrong. Money and wealth even is not wrong. It's a blessing from God. But we've got to learn to use it. And so our keys in this whole steps to financial freedom here, keys are these. One is to give generously. The second is to save wisely. We're going to get into some of that today. And then the third is to live rightly. You know, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And so we want to have God's Word inform how we handle money. And here's the, you know, one part of this whole thing is that money is the least of what God gives you. It really is. I mean, you can look at Greg and Ellie back here. You can look at Tara and Charlie. You can look at any of these children that God has blessed us with. Well, money is the least of what He's given you. But if you don't learn to handle money, He can't trust you with important things. So, you know, we need this for our own sake, for just the peace of mind and the freedom that it brings to have Christ at the center. And, you know, I think we can argue and say, well, Christ is the center of our church service this morning. Well, yes, He really is. Or He should be. But He should also be the center of our family life. He should also be the center of our work. He should be the center of our hobbies and our pursuits and all the things we do. He should be at the center of our finances. Because where He is and where He is in His rightful place, man, it puts everything else into its place. Well, so we're going to think about that this morning. But the danger here is that we approach this whole thing with simply, oh, if I can learn to manage my money better, I'll have more money. And that may be true. But that's really not the reason. That's not the motivation. It can't be. Okay? Because remember, the love of money is some kind of problem? The root of all evil. You're kidding me. You know, yeah, that's what the love of money. It is a trap, y'all. And the danger is that no matter how much you get, I mean, somebody asked, I think it was Rockefeller, you know, the billionaire, you know, how much is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. You'll never get enough if that's what your end goal is. But if your end goal is to please God and to be a blessing and to live a life that is filled with joy and peace and generosity, and, well, that you can have. And by living a life like that, you're sending blessings on ahead of you. And they're going to be waiting on you in heaven one day. And so you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. So let's look together. Psalm 37 in verse 1. Now we're going to read this entire psalm. Okay? So brace yourself. All right? Just prepare yourself. If you're able to stand, and that's great. If you need to sit down during the psalm, that's fine. Don't think about it twice. But we're going to read this psalm together. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and withers the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation or lifestyle. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth, and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Psalm 37. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for speaking to our hearts and our lives today. And I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would be mightily present this morning to touch us and to draw us to Yourself. And Lord, to receive truth from Your Word. And I pray that the Word of God would be a mighty and powerful, living sword just flashing in our hearts and minds today. And just cutting away those things that are false and revealing truth to us and showing us who You are. And I pray today that You would set Your people free from the bondage of debt and the bondage of being entrapped by a love of money. And Father, I thank You for what You're going to do here this morning. And Lord, if there's even one today who doesn't know You, Father, would You draw them to Yourself and would You help them to be saved? Save them today, Lord, in Jesus' name. We lift all these things to You now. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, as we think about what the psalmist is giving us here, and I hope you picked up, there's some common threads in that passage. Cut off. The wicked are going to be cut off. I mean, you heard it several times. But the righteous, the meek, the just, they're going to inherit the land. They're going to be blessed. God's going to take care of them. God's going to provide for them. So there's just this thread that runs through that whole psalm and speaks to us. But, you know, I want to encourage you to take the words of verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And verse 4. What a powerful verse for us. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What a sweet verse for us. That's awesome. But, you know, you think about that. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you whatever you want. Is that what it said? Well, it's a paraphrase. But here's the key to that. When you delight yourself in the Lord, He changes your heart. So that you don't want that stuff that you once wanted, the things, the, you know, fortune and fame and celebrity and, you know, and everybody bowing down when you come walking through, Tristan. I mean, you know, just those normal dreams that we have growing up, you know, just complete world domination. That's all we want, right, Noah? I mean, we don't ask for much. But suddenly the Lord begins to work on us, and the Lord changes our heart, and He gives us a whole new set of desires. When you delight yourself, in the Lord, okay, now, I mean, you can put up with, and you can sit through, and you can make it through a worship service like this one. And I've done it. I don't recommend it, but I've done it. Or you can delight yourself in the Lord. And you can get lost in His goodness and His greatness and His grace and His love. And you can just be enthralled with Him. And you'll walk out of there thinking, oh, this is so awesome. This is amazing. Or you can walk out thinking, oh, glad that's over. Don't have to come back for that, you know, till next week. Maybe it'll snow. Well, I want to encourage you to delight yourself in the Lord. And, you know, it starts with relationship. It starts with being saved. It starts with knowing Christ, that you have a relationship with God. You're His son or daughter because He has reached into your life and convicted you of your sin and showed you that you need Jesus and you need forgiveness. And then you've received Him. You've opened up your heart and your life to Him, and you've received Him for yourself. And well, but then, even then, you can still substitute things for Him. And look, you'll know you have some substitutes for God when you're not happy. Now, I don't mean that, you know, life's just going to be wonderful and everything's going to be good all the time. But when you find yourself discontented, miserable in where you are, that's an indication that you've put something else as your delight beside the Lord. And you need to come back and say, oh God, I need You. Because, you know, you can be in prison. But if Jesus Christ is your delight, if God is your delight, you can be so happy in prison. You could be in the hospital this morning or the nursing home. You could be stuck on the side of the road someplace, broke down. But if you have Christ as the focus of your heart and you are so in love with Him, even in the worst circumstances you find yourself, you can find such joy and peace. So delight yourself in the Lord. I think it's a choice that we make every single day. And it certainly is important in this area of finances. Because if you're delighting yourself in money or in stocks and bonds and investments, in retirement accounts and vacations and plans, we live in such an interesting time. People are into tiny houses. Have you followed this? Tiny houses. And so they build them this tiny house. And it's 700 square feet or whatever. And they spend $100,000 for it. I'm like, what's the point here? Delight yourself in the Lord. Because houses and cars, clothes and hairdos and stuff, they cannot fill the emptiness of the human heart. And you can have all that stuff and yet there's still this aching void within you. And people get a rush sometimes. People buy things. And I mean, now, you know, we've got channels on TV that have wonderful products to sell. I mean, just channels that all they do is sell you stuff. That's all they do 24/7. But if you don't call in the next 20 minutes, you can't get this great deal. And people call in and they get this rush from buying something. The only problem with that is that it's a high that's artificial. It's inflated for a moment. But then you get that thing in the mail and you discover, oh, that's not at all what I thought it was. Or this doesn't fit. Or, you know, whatever. Well, on the other hand, and studies have shown this to be true. People who do that, who buy, and that's kind of their thing, you know, oh, makes them feel good. That goes away. But when you give something to someone, that's a high that's real. That's a high that doesn't go away. because you have done something that, man, was a blessing. I just want to encourage you this morning to kind of reorient yourself to all of the stuff of life and how you're doing things. And the first thing we started with was to give generously. And you may say, well, you know, shouldn't that be a second step or third step? No, I really think this is an important step. This first step is to give generously and start with the tithe. Okay? And the tithe means the tenth. Start with the tenth. Give the tenth of your increase to God. All right? And, I mean, you can send that to the Robert Tiltons of the world if you choose to. Or you can just flush it down the toilet. It might be just as well. But some of you don't remember Robert Tilton. He was a slick snake oil televangelist and exposed for a lot of his junk. But anyway, I'm sure he's selling cars somewhere today. And if you ever meet him, I wouldn't buy anything from him. But anyway, just personal interjection there. Well, I want to encourage you to begin with giving. Because here's what giving does. When you give, what that is doing is that's turning the key in your mind and in your heart to release you from a fear of not having enough money, from a love of money, from a desire to have money. It's setting you free, and now you have control over it. And you're using it as God intended. It's a tool. But the key thought here for me is that when you give, it sets you free. And so I want to encourage you to tithe. And I think the local church is the place to start. I think that's the place. Once you have given your tithe in the church, then, you know, there may be other worthy things out there that you can give to. But until you've given in the church, I really think that's misguided. Some folks have said, well, I never tithe, and so it's a big, that's a big adjustment. Maybe if I just start gradually and work my way up to it. One study found that 3% of people who tithe got there by gradually working their way up to it. And I think it's one of those deals where if you're going to jump in. Jump in and trust God. And the verse that we looked at last time was Malachi 3:10. And it just sets this priority in our life. And just says, you know, we need to do this. This is right. This is the thing we need to do. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, I want to encourage you to start here. Give generously. Don't hold back. Don't be stingy. Do this. Give a proportionate amount of your increase and do it on the, you know, a weekly basis or whatever your pay period is. Whatever, you know, whenever you get paid, do it. Our church is presently working or preparing to work toward having online giving. We're going to, you know, have that as an option because I know a lot of young people today don't carry a checkbook and they don't have cash in their wallet to give like they, you know, would, but they just don't think about it. They're not prepared. So, you know, we're you know, trying to get up with the times a little bit there. Well, all right. So that's the first step. If you want to get free in your finances, start giving generously. But then second is to save wisely. And what does the scripture tell us? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. And consider, you know, the ant works all summer, doesn't he? You remember the fable? The ant and the grasshopper? And all summer long, the ant was just working and working, or he was hauling food, you know. And I mean, ants are amazing. Did you know that the weight of the ants on the earth outweigh the weight of humans on the earth? Just a little ant fact there for you. Some of them are fire ants, but hopefully not all of them. But those ants, they work and work and work. And here's one of the keys for this. You know, I saw this on the internet the other day. It must be true. It said, you know, hey, you want to get some money coming your way? Get a job. In about 2 weeks, you'll get a paycheck. And, well, yeah, there's something to that. You know, you can talk about financial freedom and blessings from God, but a part of it is just the work ethic. It's just being focused on the fact that I have work to do, and it's right, and it's good, and it's God-honoring. And the job doesn't really matter. It can be any kind of job, and that's not the issue. As long as it's morally acceptable. But what we need to do is we need to work and prepare for the future. And there's a scripture that has kind of stuck with me. It's Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. And here's what Solomon gives to us. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. It says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. And you know, the ant works all summer long, gathering that food, bringing it in, bringing it in, bringing it in. And I mean, they can carry loads that are like 50 times heavier than they are. It's just, you know, incredible, God's creation. And they work and work and work. Meanwhile, the grasshopper, man, he's just flying around, jumping here and there, and just, you know, spitting on people when they pick him up. And, you know, just being a grasshopper, you know, and has no thought for tomorrow, no concerns about the future. But let me ask you, which of those two creatures of God are you more like? Are you more like the ant? Building and preparing and getting ready? Or are you like the grasshopper? Just jumping from place to place, just here and there, and spend what you get. In the house of the wise, there are stores of good things. But a foolish man spends everything he gets. A foolish man just consumes everything. Well, if you want to be financially free, then here's one of the keys to that. It is to begin to save your money. Give first, but then begin to save. Now, the first thing you need to do is establish an emergency fund. You ought to have an amount of money, and it will vary a little bit from person to person and family to family about how much that should be. A good goal is to set aside $1,500 and have that sitting aside for emergencies only. Okay? That's not your coffee and soda fund. You know, it's emergencies. That's when the car breaks down. That's when the refrigerator goes out. That's when the roof has a leak. You need that money set aside, because here's what happens if you don't have it. If you don't have that money, then the car is still going to break down. The refrigerator is still going to go out. The roof is still going to spring a leak. It's going to come, whether you prepare for it or not. But when you prepare for it, and you save that money, and you have it in your hand, and the lawnmower breaks down, or whatever it is, then you go and you buy what you need to do. You fix whatever's broken, and you can do it. If you don't have that emergency fund, what happens? Well, you got to fix the roof. Most people, they're going to go and borrow money. Now, is this a step toward financial freedom or financial servitude? And I know there's a lot of reasons why. Oh, I can't save that much money. Let me just suggest to you, you can save a lot more money than you think you can if you just begin today and begin with purpose, with intention. You know, most banks, talk to Daniel, most banks, they'll take every time you use your debit card, they'll round that up. If you spend $7.50, they'll round it up to $8. That will come out of your checking account. And they'll take the change and deposit that into your savings account. You say, well, that's not very much. No, but if you use your debit card once a day, twice sometimes, I mean, it's an incremental amount, but it's an incremental approach to building. And that's how you build. You're not just going to sit down and pull out $1,500 probably and say, okay, here's my emergency fund. You're going to have to work at it and maybe cut back. You know, you're going to have to cut back your satellite package. Although I don't know how in the world you'll do without that extra 3,000 channels. That, you know, is just so filled with wonderful things that you want to watch. Start today. Build that emergency fund. You need it. Your family needs this. You have some unexpected medical bills, whatever. You're going to be prepared. Now, once you get that initial amount, you really need to keep adding to that because that's for minor emergencies, basically. But what if you lose your job? You know, if you're a single person, then you probably ought to plan for, say, a 3-month, you know, however much money you'd need to live on for 3 months. Have that sitting there. If you've got a family, you probably need to plan for 6 months. But you need to begin to think in terms of the ant and not the grasshopper. Well, so a couple thoughts here. And there's, you know, Dave Ramsey, and there's all kinds of good resources that will give you practical steps on how to do these things. And so, you know, I'm not going to try to do all that or talk about all that, but let me just address one issue. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Another great verse out of Proverbs. Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." And what that's saying is, when you owe money, you are the servant of that person to whom you owe money. And I mean, I know how it is. Credit card companies, man, they'll hunt you down and sign you up. They want your business. And by the way, they're not just out there so that they can give you 1% back. Okay? That is not their end game. That is not what their goal is in all this. They're trying to make a profit, and they're making a killing. The average American who has credit card debt has $15,000 in credit card debt. $60 billion in debt across the landscape here. And Look, one of the greatest hindrances to people being able to give and to be a blessing is that sometimes they are so bound up in debt. I mean, you may want to serve the Lord. You may want to, you know, go. And I've known people who wanted to go to the mission field or whatever, and they couldn't do it because they were so far in debt. Well, if you have those. Now, I mean, I'm sure in a group like this, I'm talking to some folks who are fiscally wise that, you know, you're not dealing with debt, but there's others of us that, frankly, we've got, you know, credit card here, and we've got some student loans here, and we've got a car payment, and we've got this debt, and we've got, you know, several things going on. Well, I'll encourage you in this way. Get out of debt. I mean, look at all of the money that you owe. Look at every bit of it. And pick out the one. And again, this goes, Dave Ramsey's got this, and other people have got this. You can go and you can find all the details of how to do this. But you pick out that debt that's the least, the smallest debt that you have. Now, keep paying the minimum on all the other ones. But pick out that one that's the least. Pay it off. I mean, pay it down as much as you can every month. Pay extra. Get it done. Because here's what happens. You go out to the furniture store, you need some furniture. You don't have the money, but boy, you need some furniture. And so you spend $5,000. Well, it's not that hard to do. And then you're making the minimum payment. 5 years later, you've paid far more than $5,000 for that furniture. If you have to do it over 10 years, you've paid that much more, plus the furniture's wore out. Pick out that debt. That's the small. You say, well, why do that? Because once you pay one off and you see, okay, I can do this, then it helps you. And you take whatever you were paying on that one and you shift it up to the next one. And you go right up the scale. And you say, well, but is that really that important, that necessary? Well, you know, I think it is, because there's a lot of folks today, and man, they're driving nice rigs. And they are living some beautiful homes. And I mean, when you look at all that, you just think, wow. What you don't see is you don't see them not answering the phone because the bill collectors keep calling them and hounding them and pressuring them. You don't see them living with stress and turmoil because they're up to their eyeballs in debt. And they're just as much paycheck to paycheck as anybody, even though they've got a bunch of nice stuff. And I want to suggest to you, that's not the freedom that Christ wants to give you. I want to encourage you to set your heart on seeking the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. He will bless you. He will help you. And look, I mean, I know there's all different situations in the room here, but God is able to help you to get, because frankly, for some of us, our finances, well, it's just not like what we thought it would be. It's not like what we hoped it would be. I'm going to tell you, God is able to lift you up and to give you space to breathe and give you what you need. And it's step by step. It's one day at a time. You can do this with God's help. Just keep your heart focused on Him, because it really isn't about the money. It isn't about the stuff. it's about Him.
Well, there's tons more here, and we need to quit, so we'll stop here. But oh, listen, I want to encourage you, and I don't say all this stuff to pound on you and make you feel bad or to, you know, I want to encourage you. You can do this. You honestly can do this. And it doesn't matter where you're starting at. It doesn't matter what your situation is today. People have paid off hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And your situation may not be nearly that. Well, I want to encourage you to start, because what that's going to do is it's going to set you into a pattern of life that is free and that honors the Lord and enables you to be the kind of giver you'd like to be, to help when there's a need. And I think most of us would say, you know, I want to be that. I want to be able to help and not have to feel like, oh, I'd like to, I just... Well, I want to encourage you. There's a way that God can help you to move forward and have freedom in your financial life. Well, it's all about Him. It's all about your spiritual life. It's all about your walk with God. So let's bring it back to that in this moment as we close, as we think about where we are today. It could be God's dealing with your heart about some things financially, but the heart of all of it is the spiritual issues that are there. So if today if there's a need in your life, I want to encourage you to take care of it. Follow the Lord. Do whatever He's calling you to do. Maybe there's some things you need to get right with Him. Maybe some things you need to get right with somebody else. Do it. Could be that God's speaking to your heart today about being saved. Come on. Time. It's time. Let's do it. Let's settle it. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. You've thought about it. You've waited. You know you're saved. Let's do it. Let's move forward. Maybe it's, you know, this thing of giving. Maybe you want to tithe. You're just not sure. Give it to Him today. Commit it to Him. Trust in the Lord and do good. Well, let's bow our heads. Father, in this moment, I'm thankful because... Lord, we each one have needs. We each one have some issues and problems, and we're all different. But Lord, You have the answer for every single one of us. You are able. You're able to take care of every need that we have. And so, Father, I just pray that You would give us grace this morning in small things and in big things, Lord. You'd give us grace to just lay these things at Your feet, to trust You for these needs to be met. Father, some are dealing with financial struggles and needs today. I pray that You'll work and just help us to know You are the only thing that matters in our lives, Lord. Help us to bring everything we are to You. And Lord, help us to delight ourselves in You. And I pray that we would find true freedom from that. Lord, I pray for folks dealing with spiritual struggles or maybe some who need to be saved or whatever it could be. Lord, I just pray You'll draw each one to Yourself and give us grace in this moment to respond to You.